Hello, and welcome to Legacy Church Amelia Island. We know that you will be blessed by the message that you're about to hear and pray that it helps you to leave a Christ-glorifying legacy for generations to come.
Well, church family, if you're excited to be in God's house, why don't you put your hands together for the goodness of our God and our King. Thank you so much for your faithfulness right here to God's house at Legacy Church. Whether you're in the building or online, we honor you and we thank you. For every time we gather, here's the unique thing. There's an opportunity for breakthrough. There's an opportunity for God to reveal himself. And so never take lightly or for granted that we have a place to worship. We have a place to seek God's face and knowing that when we gather, amazing things can happen. And so I'm always reminded that every time I'm here, I'm saying, God, speak to me and God, have your way. And so whether you've been here before or you're new, we welcome you. We thank you for being here. Well, our church, we're in the midst of this series about the I Am statements of Jesus. And this is week 6. Has anybody enjoyed the series so far? We're calling it The Way. And we've walked through these I Am statements of Jesus. And basically what these I Am statements have done, they've revealed who he is. And the important thing is when his I Am statements reveal who he is, that should affect who we are. And so each week we walk through that and we'll do that same thing today. And so for these next few moments, I want to talk to you from a message out of John chapter 10. If you've got your Bibles, you can open them up. You can fire up your apps to John chapter 10. That's where we'll do our work today in this I Am statement of Jesus. And I'm going to prepare the time by reading the chapter really quick here. A quarter of the chapter, maybe, to start our time here together to really set the framework of what we're going to be speaking about today. I'm going to start in verse 1, and it says this. It says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who's not entered the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is," listen to this, "the shepherd of the sheep." And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes in ahead of them." I love that language that Jesus and all that we do, if we follow him, he goes ahead of us. "And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize his voice." Now down at verse 7, here's the focus for today. "I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come they may have life and have it to the full." I hope that each time you gather in God's presence, in our church, you're reading God's word, you're looking for this fullness of life he's talking about. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and the hired hand is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep." I want to talk to you for the next few moments from this thought. The shepherd, the sheep, and the gatekeeper. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you give us the opportunity to gather today. And I pray we would not gather in vain. But if the Holy Spirit is present, which we invite you, Holy Spirit, and our hearts are open, our minds are open, Father, and we allow you to speak, Lord, there's a transaction that happens today. We come who we were, and we left who you desire us to be. And so, Lord, we pray that you do that today in the way that only you can. In Jesus' name, someone say amen. So it's interesting. It's been said and proven in some ways. In the last 120 years, we've seen more modern advancements than in the last 1,000 years or so. For instance, in 1917, it took 5 days to get from London to New York. And now, if you've done that awful flight, it's about 8 hours, give or take. And although for us, it's nice to be on this side of history, right? We're on this side of history where we have so many modernizations, comforts, convenience. You can do everything you want to do and pretty much not leave your couch. It's nice to be on this side, but what I've found and what sociologists are studying now is there are also some disadvantages to this many conveniences. There are some disadvantages to where we are in our culture, having everything at the tip of our fingers. I'll give you a couple examples that you probably can relate to. Would you say that you remember a time when you were speaking with someone and the vast majority of your conversation was not a text message, but it was looking in the white of their eyes? Do you remember that time? Would you say you remember a time where when you got to know someone, it wasn't social media stalking them? That's true. Like if you meet someone, you go and you find out who they are, what they like, what they don't like, what they support, who they don't support. But in the past, it was, let's go have coffee. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's meet up at the park. Let's walk around the block. Let's meet at a diner. There are things that are different in our culture now. Do you remember a time when you would gather for your favorite sitcom? Anybody remember Friends or anything like that? You would gather and you'd wait for the first season episode to come out, and you'd gather at somebody's house or the big game. Usually whoever had the biggest TV, any big TV folks out there who have the biggest TV, you'd gather at their house. Because if you missed said sitcom or game, there was no recording process. It was recorded by everybody Monday morning at the water cooler, ruining it for you, right? And giving you their best Monday morning quarterback. And how about the holy spiritual warfare that would happen at Blockbuster? Do you remember this? God was not in it. He really wasn't. But you'd gather with family or friends, and you would duke it out. Who got to choose the movie, and what would the movie be? Would it be romance? Would it be exciting sports? Like what would it be? And there was a time and space where we would get a Blockbuster and all come home to the same space, watching on the same device in the same room. And now our day is, well, everybody's on their own device watching their own thing because someone's catching up on season 108, episode 92. Of a show, and there's just so many disadvantages that sociologists are now finding in this space where we are so advanced, we are so ahead, we couldn't believe how far ahead we are when, you know, 100, 120 years ago, we were talking about steam engines, and now we're so advanced, have so many different things at our disposal, and what we have found is this, is that times have changed for the better in some ways, but in other ways, it's put us at a disadvantage. And the beautiful thing about this timeless book or this timeless app that you have on your phone called the Bible, it prepares us for that. It prepares us for every season of life. The Bible says this. It says the earth will fade away, but his word will never. Everything we need, every society, every culture from first century to present day, it prepares us for these moments. And so although we're at a disadvantage, we have to be mindful of what that disadvantage is. So when we're reading the Bible, and we've been through, today will be the sixth of the I Am statements, we have to understand this. The Bible takes place in Jewish communities. Did you know that? Old Testament, New Testament, these are Jewish communities, the vast majority of it, sprinkled in a couple of Gentile communities, but for the vast majority is Jewish communities, which highlighted community, highlighted fellowship, highlighted the family structure, highlighted the table, gathering at the table, highlighted a Sabbath rest, highlighted all these things. So when Jesus is talking to his audience then and today, his assumption is that you and I would know that, that you and I would care about that, that you and I would do enough study, enough scholarship to say, okay, if Jesus is speaking, it's through this lens, it's through this thought, and that we would be so hungry when we come into a gathering like this and say, Lord, speak to me, I'm ready, I'm listening. Because if we read the Bible outside of its cultural context, we're missing a lot of cues and clues. We're missing a lot of things that Jesus is saying. Do you remember being in school and you were not interested in what they were talking about and you just blanked out and you came back and you're like, I don't know what we're talking about. I don't know what's going on. And if you're like me, you ask the question and the teacher says, we already reviewed that. Like they let you know that you were not in the room even though you're in the room. We would miss that if we don't have cultural context here. And so part of the heaviest lifting that we'll do in this series is creating a little bit of cultural context and understanding of why Jesus gives the metaphors that he gives and the examples that he gives. And so when we spoke about and what we read in John chapter 10 and verse 1 through 2, he talked about that he is the sheep pen and he is the gate. I'll read verses 1 through 2 again for you. It says, verily, truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen. Anyone know what a sheep pen is? Like keeps the sheep in? By the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. So what are we forced to do here? We're forced to read this and have a Hebraic agrarian mindset for a moment, okay? We're forced to look at this and not assume anything, but be open to learn and to listen and to say, why does Jesus use this example? Why does he go there? Knowing that every word he said would be captured, written down for antiquity, and shared by cultures that we have this technological advancements that this wouldn't land well around the world, but Jesus lets it land no matter what. So now what you and I are forced to do, if you're willing, I'm not going to force anybody, but if you're willing, we have to discuss the qualities of a shepherd. It's important for us to know the qualities of a shepherd to understand what Jesus is trying to convey to your present, to your future, and how you're supposed to reconcile your past. Are you ready? Now, it's safe to say, nobody in here is a shepherd. I'm just going to go out and assume that any shepherd's in the house. All right, not upstairs, not downstairs, not online. If so, let us know online if you are. But it's safe to say no one's a shepherd here today. So this could potentially walk out of here and we fall on deaf ears. I don't know what a shepherd is. I don't know what the importance of a shepherd is. Apparently, a shepherd was pretty important because Jesus uses it as the framework for what he's talking about. He lets us know that a shepherd is important. Why? And as you study a shepherd, you find out why. A shepherd cares for the flock, cares for his sheep. He provides the livelihood for the sheep, and they also are his livelihood, okay? The shepherd, this job is very important. Oftentimes, it's a generational job where generation after generation after generation were shepherds, and they pass down this trade to the next. Most of us have maybe a cynical appreciation for sheep, right? We like the wool they provide. Or maybe you count sheep, but we don't really have this the intrinsic value maybe that a culture like this would have for sheep. When they heard sheep, they'd be on the edge of their seat. Why? Because sheep represented something beyond what we see it as. Whether it's shepherds or livestock, this for them related a monetary part of the society. Where, well, how many sheep are you talking about? Like, what is the herd? Like, you know, what's the condition of them? They would perk up listening to this. They would be all eyes and all ears and listening. So where is he going with this? Because in their society, what was happening? They were related to or knew shepherds or had some kind of monetary investment in shepherding. And so the shepherds cared for not just the sheep, but the lives of their sheep. And so at the expense of their own life, think of whatever your job is or when you were retired, whenever you worked, would you have laid your life down for your job? Outside of those in the military, I would say there's a big hard no in here, right? Nobody's laying their life down for the office or, right, the secretaries. I don't think so. But the shepherd here would lay their life down for the sheep. This was not clocking in for a 9-to-5 and then heading out. The Bible tells us that this was a very, very important role. The Bible refers to shepherds in connotation to what God's role, what Jesus' role is in our lives. As a matter of fact, God used shepherds in some of the biggest ways in the Bible. Do you remember some of the shepherds in the Bible? Anybody have any Bible trivia knowledge with them today? Do you remember shepherds like Abraham? How about Isaac? How about Jacob? How about Moses? How about David? These are shepherds that God says, I need you to understand what it's like to care for my sheep before I entrust you with my sheep. And for someone in here today that God is calling you to care over things or people or what have you, he may be preparing you for something greater. You just have to start with where he has you. Amen? And this is what he does in so many seasons of life for the people that we spoke about. Next, in verse 11, we get this, this thought. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, nor does he own the sheep. So when the wolf is coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Okay, so a couple of things are happening here that we should be aware of. And this is that. This is, it's not an easy job being a shepherd, and you have to be willing to lay down your life. Not only do you have to be willing to lay down your life, but we're talking about some job hazards here. I don't know if you get hazard pay as a shepherd, but we just read that there are wolves. Now, I don't know if you remember the last time you started a job, but and they said, hey, here are the hazards. You know, you might lift over 30 pounds. You might work overnight. You might wear graveyard shift. But probably weren't told there could be wolves coming for you. But for a shepherd, as they passed on this generational trade, they said, hey, this may cost you your life. This may cost you all that you have, and you need to be willing to take that step. It says, so when he sees a wolf coming, there's a difference here. He abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man, this is the hired hand, not the actual shepherd. It says, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for his sheep. And so, if he cares nothing for the sheep, he's going to run away, but we serve a good shepherd who cares for the sheep. Amen? He cares for the sheep. And so when you have people in the Bible like David, who was a lifetime shepherd, you say, well, why was he a lifetime shepherd? Well, he shepherded the flock for who? His father, Jesse. Then he shepherded the flock of Ziklag, and then Israel. And so when you have people like him who are a lifetime shepherd, it's interesting because I'm going to give you a little background story here about shepherding is when David went to take food to his brothers, you remember this? And his brother's like, what are you doing here? And David overhears Goliath, and what does Goliath say? He says, he begins to defy the God of Israel. He says, what are you doing? I can overtake you guys. Your God is nothing. All these, that's my interpretation, all right? That's my version of the Bible. It's not exactly how it's said. But he says these things, and David says, why are you guys allowing him to defy the God of Israel? Like, why are you allowing this to happen? And everybody's afraid. And so David, this teenage boy, bringing bread and cheese to his brother, says, well, I will fight him. And he goes to Saul. Do you guys remember this? He goes to Saul, and he says, hey, I will fight him. And Saul says, you're going to fight Goliath, the champion of Gath, this 12-foot giant. He says, you're but a youth, but he's been a warrior from his youth. And do you remember David's feedback? It's going to give you a different context now. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. Watch David's feedback. The whole room is laughing. Remember, you got this little teenage boy coming in, a little slingshot, maybe a patch or a satchel, and just looking just young and not very war veteran-like. So they're laughing. The whole room's laughing. In verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And then the laughs probably get louder, right? They start crying like, okay, I can't take anymore. My stomach's hurting. You're going to fight Goliath. Oh, because you've tended sheep. But then it gets serious. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, oh, things just got serious. They started wiping their tears away from laughter because now he's talking about not fighting Goliath. Who's he talking about fighting? A lion and a bear. We talked about hazardous pay. Are you kidding me right now? Before we're talking about wolves, and now we're talking about lions and bears. He says, when a lion and a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, he didn't run the other way. He wasn't a hired hand. What was he? Shepherd. So when they ran off with the flock, he said, verse 35, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep, because he's a shepherd, rescued the sheep from its mouth. I don't know what that looks like, but we're told he grabs him out of his mouth, and when it turned on me, he didn't run. He seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. And so now the room's silent. Apparently, they don't know much about shepherds in this room, nor King Saul. And verse 36 said, your servant has killed both lion and bear. This is what the David that you and I read about the stories and tell our kids in any situation that's bigger than them. We say, hey, remember David and Goliath. Really, it should be remember the shepherd and the wolf, right? Remember the shepherd who cared for the sheep. And because he cared for the sheep, he's willing to lay his life down and have the courage to do what God called him to do. The Bible uses these great shepherds because he understood what it was to shepherd sheep. Someone say amen. So now we have a little bit of context of a shepherd. Now we're going to move on to the sheep. Kind of a strange one, context of an animal. But here's what you need to know. Of all animals in the Bible, do you know what we refer to most as human beings? Not lions, not eagles soaring. We're referred to mostly as sheep. Okay, at the outset, it's not going to be very, it's not going to make us feel great at the outset, but it'll make sense in the end, so just go with me here. Of all the domesticated animals, sheep, as I studied this week, are the most helpless. They are so helpless, they spend their entire day grazing with their heads down, and because they're grazing with their heads down, do you know what happens? They often get lost. They get lost because they're eating with their heads down, not looking where they're coming from or going. And what we are told, scholars tell us, and those who study this demographic of sheep, we're told that they don't have what some animals have, the beacon. Anyone let their dog or their cat just run kind of out and about, and then they make their way back at feeding time? Sheep don't have that. So they can, even if the sheepfold is in plain sight, you know what happens? Sheep get lost. And what happens? The shepherd has to go and find them. By nature, sheep just follow the lead sheep. I read this, that if a lead sheep walks off a mountain, do you know what the rest of the sheep will do? It's like what our parents told us. So if your friend jumps off a bridge, are you going to jump off a bridge? Some of us said, depends on what they look like. And then we got sent to our room. But it's the same principle. A lead sheep, if it walks into a dangerous water, if it walks off a mountain, the rest will follow, because the sheep without the shepherd will hurt themselves. Sheep are also easily sustain injury, and they're very helpless. And so they can fall into water not even that deep. But if it knocks them down, they're drowning. They don't have a doggy paddle. Sheep, when they fall, they're down and out, and if it's water, they're pretty much gone. Also, they don't have a fight or a flight mentality. So as to say, if a wolf, if a lion, if a bear comes to the sheep pen, they don't scatter. You know how you scatter and you kind of mix them up? You know what sheep do? They gather together. So they're easier for the slaughter. They're easier to get, pick them off. This is what we're compared to. We're compared to those who have need for a shepherd. We're compared to those who have need for someone to guide us and to lead us and to direct us. And so what we're forced to do in this moment, now that we've covered a shepherd, is what spiritual value is embedded in this chapter 10 from Jesus about sheep? Because we are called sheep. We are called his sheep. We're called to learn values and lessons from his sheep. The first thing you want to know is sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd who cares for their every need. That can be hard in our modern society, isn't it? Where we're supposed to depend on our shepherd for every need that we have, whether he gives us the means to provide the need or not, truly he's the source. He's lent us, like we sang in that worship song, we've rented, we've leased some breath in our lungs and everything else, but he's the true source of our supply. Is he the one who's supplying for you? Shepherds provide in every way, from their daily bread to the hedge of protection to all they need. The shepherd even leads their sheep into peaceful places to graze and to rest. There's something you're going to see here in parallels as you read your Bible. When you read one part of your Bible, it relates to other parts of the Bible. And so that's why it's so important in our modern day to not just read New Testament, but Old Testament. And I say, well, that's Old Covenant. It's really one covenant revealed in different ways. It's the covenant of God. It's the covenant of redemption. It's the covenant of blood. It's the covenant of love and forgiveness. And so as it's revealed, I want to show you something. Sheep fear moving water. It will not drink from moving water. So a shepherd, after he finds some green pastures, you know what he finds him? He finds him still water. And so maybe you've read Psalm 23. Maybe you remember these words when it says, he makes me to lie down in what? Where do you think he got that from? Being a shepherd. He goes on to say, he leads me besides what? Still waters, quiet waters. Why? Because he was a shepherd. He understood the dependency the shepherd has, or the sheep have, rather, on the shepherd. And it also says in Isaiah to remind us to be careful to not have dependency on the shepherd. Why? Because Isaiah 53:6 says this, we all, like what? Have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. Do you see the power and the importance of this passage from Jesus? The power and the importance of John chapter 10. That we have to know the shepherd, know his qualities, appreciate his qualities, pray to him, and use those qualities. I hope in this series you've taken time and put the I am statements in your prayer life. This is the sixth I am statement we're reviewing this week, and I would tell you, I've been adding it to my prayer life, and it's refreshing to call him the bread of life. It's refreshing to say, Lord, feed me today, first spiritually and then naturally. Feed my family today, first spiritually and then naturally. Lord, you are the light of the world. Wherever there's darkness, Lord, would you be the light? And like Matthew says, lead me to be the light, like a city on a hill. It's so refreshing to say, God, whatever this day holds, whatever's before me, I don't even know what's coming today, tomorrow, next week, next month. You are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. That no man comes to the Father except by you, so I trust in you. So lastly, we now have to know the qualities of our gatekeeper, the one who protects the sheep and the one who creates this sheep pen. He's called the gatekeeper. I'll review it for you in verse 7. It says this, "Therefore," Jesus again said, "very truly, I tell you, I am," here it is, "the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am," here he says again, "the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." A gate or a door gives access, doesn't it? Because now he's gone from shepherd to what? The gate, to the pen that the sheep are kept in. He's pivoting here, but it's the same principle in the essence that he is the one who we depend on, the one that we trust in. The reference here of door is very important. He's not a door. Did you notice? He's the door. He's the gate. Gates keep things in, and it keeps things out. And his desire in your life is to keep some things in, and it keeps some things out. See, when you're younger in your faith or younger just in life, you think parents, accountability partners, mentors, you think, well, they just don't want me to have fun. Well, they just want me to save and not have any fun. They just want me to not go out and experience life or sow this or sow that. No, they understand life and how gates work. And how there's a lot of gates in life, but there's only one true gate. A lot of doors you can walk through today, this week in 2024, but there's only one that will truly give you faith, hope, and love. Will give you joy and peace and grace and discernment. There's only one. Jesus, it tells us here, is not only our shepherd and the one who leads us to the sheepfold, but he is the door. It's exclusive language here. Remember, I taught this about maybe 4 weeks ago. Very exclusive language. He's exclusive in the aspect that he's the only way to the Father, but he's open in the aspect that anyone comes. Does that make sense? Exclusive, that there's one way to the Father through the person of Jesus, but open in the aspect that but anybody is welcomed. From any walk of life, any situation, doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, if you can't forgive yourself, he can forgive you. If you don't have it all together, if you're not all cleaned up yet, if you don't have it all right, it's okay. We come to him to make it right. And the language here is letting us know that he is the door to be saved. And we even heard that language in there. And that's not some modern popular Christianese term, being saved. That's from Jesus. That we are literally saved, not figurative, literally saved from an eternity separated from him in a place called hell. And we have eternity with him in a place called heaven. This is the language he wants us to use and understand that as our shepherd, he is the door and he is the way. And we are saved when we choose him. There's something there that I want you to see. Right now, how many world religions are you familiar with? Just think right now, like rattle off at least 3 or 4 in your mind. World religions, people you know that have other religions, serve other gods. Think of those. Are you aware of this? In these world religions, you can remove the founder and the leader, and the religion is still intact. You can remove the founder, the leader, and you can still follow the principles and the precepts, and it's still intact. However, this is not so with Christianity. In Christianity, if you remove Jesus, if you remove Jesus Christ, it doesn't exist any longer. If you remove Jesus from Christianity, we no longer have a faith. We no longer have a Bible. Why? Because from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it's Jesus. Here's what I mean. The Old Testament, Jesus concealed through messianic prophecy, through Christophanies, through prophets calling for him to come. Jeremiah, Isaiah. They're all calling for him to come. And then he arrives. And then the New Testament, you have all the things that are fulfilled from the Old Testament. So if you remove Jesus from that, we no longer have a faith. You can't remove Jesus because we no longer have someone coming from the lineage of David. We no longer have the virgin birth, the sinless life, the sacrificial death, which, by the way, when he was crucified, also the Passover lambs are being crucified. Same time. We no longer have the crucifixion, the gambling of his clothes, the not one bone being broken. You no longer have the resurrection, the ascension. I want us just to take a moment and appreciate the value of Jesus, that without him, this means nothing. Without him, we're gathered in a building, a warehouse with some nice windows. Without him, we're wasting our time in here and online. But because of the person of Jesus, because of the love of the Father, and because of Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he does what? Endure the cross, scorning its shame. For you and for me. And so there's just a moment of looking at him and understanding as the gatekeeper, without Jesus, we don't have anything. Which is to say, if you get to know Jesus as much as possible, you will grow in your faith. You will grow in your understanding of God and his word. Because Jesus says, if you've seen the Father, or you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus being the gate to the sheep pen is so critical and so important in this context. And I'm going to give you another depiction why. So here's our scholarship today. If you will, to truly understand this, this may change your perspective and your view of the shepherd. Let me show you why. There were two kinds of sheep pens. One was a public sheep pen. And so if the shepherd was passing a populated city or a village, what he could do, he could hire a hand. They'd have a sheep pen already built, already made. He would let his sheep go in there, and he would just pay a fee and come back later that day or even the next day or two and come and get his sheep. And so when Jesus gives that expression, a hired hand will not run after the wolf, will not run after the bear, this is what he means, that there were some sheep pens that hired hands would have, and then you could just leave your sheep there and go do what you had to do. However, there's a second kind of sheep pen or sheep gate. When the shepherds were out with their sheep and they were grazing, they were finding green pastures, they were finding still waters, they would have to create a sheep gate. They have to create a sheep pen. Can I show you what that looks like? It'll be on the screen. It was this very rudimentary, it's this very rough circle of rocks piled into a wall with a small space in the center. And it's that small space that, it'll come up here in just a moment, that small space I want to turn your attention to. And in this space, you will see the importance of being the sheep gate. Jesus is telling us that when it comes up, because it will, I trust that it will, when it comes up, are you laughing at me or are we laughing together? I can't tell right now. Yeah. Laughing together? Okay, fair enough. But what he's trying to do is tell us is this, that there's a dichotomy between the one where it's rented out. Is it there? Now we can laugh together. There's this dichotomy to where you have one with a hired hand who creates a gate and he doesn't really care much, but there's one where if you can see the opening, who's the door of that opening? Shepherd. So when he says he's the sheep gate, when he says he's a door, he literally means the only way the wolf, the bear, the lion gets to that sheep is over my dead body. And what did Jesus do for us on Good Friday? He shows what a real shepherd's about. He died for us. And the power of God resurrects him 3 days later, but he has to show us in real time, in real space, there's a rock wall built, but the shepherd becomes the door. In this context, Jesus is letting us know that he himself is the way to salvation. He himself is the shepherd, and salvation is only possible through him. He goes from letting us know about him being this door to letting us know about something that's so important, his voice. Now, for many of us with children or nieces and nephews or just good friends, we all knew about voice recognition before AI and Siri. You know what I'm talking about? Wish I got ahead of that investment. But we knew about, come on. If you grew up back in the day where when the streetlights came on and you heard that voice, you were doing your best 50-meter dash. You didn't need a gun to sound off. You took off home, right? If you're in a space and you have kids and you hear a certain cry or a yell, you know that's yours. And some of us, we know our dogs bark. Raise your hand if you're guilty. If you know your dogs bark. Yeah, you know your dogs bark. It's a thing. We have voice recognition. And what the shepherd has as well with the sheep is voice recognition. Can I show you? Maybe you saw it. Verses 3 through 5 say this. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and watch this. The sheep do what? Voice recognition. AI before AI. Voice recognition. Listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and what does he do? Because we read earlier, he goes before them. When you're being led by the shepherd, you don't have to say, God, what are we doing? What's next? Lord, I trust you will open doors and you will close doors. I trust you will steady my heart for things that I need to move forward in, and you won't give me peace if I'm to stay still. You will steady my heart. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize what? A stranger's voice. Amen. Yes, a stranger's voice. They don't recognize the voice. They don't follow the voice. And I will tell you what, more now than ever, there are so many voices in our culture. There are so many voices in our society. There's so many voices online, offline. Everybody's proficient, and you name it, whatever it is, because we're so inundated with information, everybody now has a platform and a voice, inside of the church, outside of the voice. They all have a voice, but the voice of God is the one that we are to follow. If you find yourself confused often, you're not sure what's right and wrong, you can't discern what's God, what's not God, the best thing to do, we are told by the shepherds, to do what? Get to know his voice. Voice recognition. If you say, that sounds great, that sounds pie in the sky, you might know God's voice for your life, but how do I know his voice for my life? It's only one way. Let faith come by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. This is the most important voice recognition you will ever spend time on in your life. If you find yourself clouded in your judgment, find yourself clouded, whether it's marriage or friends or family, you name it, profession, whatever, just get into his presence, into his word, because he says it, my sheep know my voice. And when other strangers come by and sow discord and division and all their ways and their leans and their bends and their bias, and they try to take your peace and try to bring their dysfunction in your life, you know what will happen? You'll know the voice of the shepherd. He will guide you and will lead you. Where? Beside green pastures. Beside still waters. Even in, watch this, the darkest times. Because a shepherd once wrote, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, what do? They comfort me. But how can you be comforted if you don't know what voice? You're looking for comfort in everyone else, in every other situation, and it seems comforting in the moment, in the season, but what you find is that there are wolves in sheep's clothing. What you find is that you didn't have the voice recognition of the Messiah, of the Savior. You had cultural voice recognition, right? We had cultural Christianity voice recognition, and that's very dangerous in our culture because it seems what most people are focused on and hyper-focus on is the things that the Bible doesn't talk much about. Instead of obedience, sacrifice, humility, repentance, holiness, righteousness, sanctification. The things that the Bible speaks of, the things that when you live this way, it's because you've heard the voice of God. You've heard the voice of the shepherd. Of all my studying, this is the thing that probably was the most fascinating. That even when the shepherd ran to another shepherd, and let's say they both had a flock of 100. Like my type A was going off. Like, well, how do you know what sheep and who had spots and who was who? How do you know what sheep is who or who sheep is who? Scholarship tells us that it could be 200 or 300 sheep. It could be 3 or 4 shepherds. You know what happens? When one shepherd whistles, when one shepherd says his command, when they hear the tone of their shepherd, you know what they do? They all begin to scatter towards his voice. The other shepherd couldn't steal another shepherd's sheep if he wanted to. He'd have to literally physically get them. He'd have to be what? A thief or a robber. He'd have to come another way. But because the sheep, the ones who don't have much brain power, the ones who are not known as the lion or the eagle, but they had this. And so as long as we have voice recognition, we might not have what everybody else has. We might not see what they're seeing. But as long as we can identify the voice of the Savior, the Messiah in our life, in our home, in our marriages, in our present, reconciling our future and preparing, or reconciling our past and preparing for our future, we have all that we need. It is a voice of a shepherd that we are supposed to highlight. And so today, I want to finish with this thought. Do you know the voice of the shepherd? If he spoke to you in this message, would you understand what he was saying? If he spoke to you driving Tuesday, in a service, no Bible out, but if he just wanted time in your presence, would you be able to turn the music down? Would you be able to put the phone away? Would you be able to turn the TV off? If he just wanted to say, I want 10 minutes with you today. I want to encourage your heart. I want to reveal something to you. Would you know his voice? You know, oftentimes some of us who are just like doers, just going. You know what happens to us sometimes? We get sick, injured, or have some kind of health concern. Like, that's you, raise your hand. And like, you get down on your back or on your butt for a couple of days, and you're like, okay, God just needed like time. Like, I was too busy, I was doing too much. God just wanted time. And if you know his voice, it's going to encourage you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to give you all that you need. We're in a world that has so many doors and so many options, but let me give you encouragement and give you good news. There's always only been one door. No matter how many more the world has created, no matter how many more it will create in the next 1,000 years, if he tarries, there's only one door and one way. We serve today the shepherd and the great sheep gate. And every day of your life, I want you to know this and hear this about him. That he forms a sheep pen around you, and he lays in front of the door of your life. He lays in front of the door of your life. And so if you decide to wander outside of that sheep pen and graze on everything that the world has to offer, you will get hurt. You will be confused. There literally are sheep grazing on everything this world has to offer. And being consumed by wolves in sheep's clothing, being consumed by bears and lions, all kinds of things that this world has to offer. And we just have to make our way back to the shepherd, make our way back to the sheep pen, where there's safety in his presence and with his voice. And so, do you know the voice of the shepherd? Let's finish praying about that. Well, this exchange between you and this crowd of people in John 10, is life-changing. And I pray for the life change that you desire in this, we receive and we don't miss. Lord, there's so much here, Lord, for us to take with us, Lord, that you are the shepherd. You are the good shepherd. And we are the sheep. Forgive us for when we don't see you as our shepherd and we see other things, other people in life as our shepherd. And they have to let us down so we can remember they're not the shepherd. You are. Lord, teach us to be your sheep. We are not lions. We are not bears. We are not eagles. We are sheep. We are 100% dependent on you. Lord, I pray for everyone listening on the sound of my voice today, Lord, I pray, would you lead us to green pastures? Lead us to still waters. Lead us, Lord, if we're outside of your sheep pen right now in any way, internally, externally, we'd find our way back today, Lord. We'd waste no time. Well, some of us in here, we're following other sheep and we're walking off mountains. Some of us are walking into rushing waters. Some of us are in places where our shepherd is not, and that's why we have the anxiety and the fear and the worries and the dysfunction and the problems. Lord, right now, we use scripture in our prayer and say, lead us into the sheep pen. Be our sheep gate. Thank you for laying your life down to protect us. Open our eyes, open our ears, Lord. I pray for the rest of this year, there's an acute understanding. We maybe even hear your voice, the decibels, the tone, the richness, the empathy, the care, the love that we have never heard before. Father, we are desperate to be led by the shepherd. We are desperate to be your sheep. We're desperate to cancel any noise. In Jesus' name, I pray moving forward for this church family, would every voice that's not yours be static? And only your voice be clarity. Lastly, with your heads bowed, if there's anyone in here today that's far from the shepherd, that's far from Jesus, and you don't have a personal relationship with him, I want to offer you the opportunity to do one of two things. If you've known him before, if you've prayed and you've been saved but you've walked away, I'm going to offer you the opportunity to rededicate your life today and get back into the sheep pen. But if you've never known Jesus as your Savior and you want to come into the sheep pen and know him as your Savior, I want you to also pray this prayer. And so, no, whichever spectrum you find yourself in, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. So church, let's pray this with those who are praying this to either rededicate their life or for the first time be saved. Lord God, we believe in you. You are the good shepherd. We repent of our sins and welcome Jesus into our lives. Holy Spirit, give us a hunger for your word and for discipleship the rest of our days. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Put your hands together for those who prayed that prayer today. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us at legacychurchai.org or on Legacy Church AI on Instagram and Facebook. We love you, Legacy family. See you next time.